podcast party. Descent into Avernus.
My name is Hylan. My friends and I just freed the demon Koschichi in order to distract the archdevil Zariel. But Ophelia was killed by the devils guarding him, and a hellhound is still trying to finish us off.
Koschichi screams,
"I am free! I come for you, Zariel!"
And he turns into a whirling vortex of mist and smoke, which barrels up with speed of thought up into the very far reaches of your sight.
Well, there's a distraction. We certainly paid for it.
We have to kill this hellhound and get Ophelia.
I bonus action shift my hex onto the hellhound.
Corbin, it's your turn.
Corbin is going to bonus action move his pillow over and take a swipe at the dog. 12?
12 misses. Stupid pillow.
Then he's going to reach out with his Hellfire Warhammer and take a shot. A 19?
19 hits.
8 bludgeoning damage, and then, because I'm a cleric and I get blessed strikes, he gets 3 radiant.
Ophelia, we're coming. Hold on. Don't go.
Ophelia just lies there. Does not recharge. Takes a bite. That's a natural one. It fails.
Who is it attacking?
It was attacking you.
Lulu, save your magic. I can get her.
She's like, I can fix this. I can fix this. You see her eyes suddenly roll back in her head, and she puts her paws up like she's seeing something, almost like she's touching something. And she says, "Oh no, no, not him. Not him again." And then she just falls over, unconscious.
Oh, come on.
Hylan, it's your turn.
Kill this fucking dog and fix this. Make a psychic blade in one hand and I stab this hellhound with it. I better stab it. That's 27 to hit.
Yep.
5 psychic and 15 sneak attack for 20. And then I'm gonna stab it, the dragon dagger in my other hand, the 14.
A 14 does not hit.
And I just look down at my shaking hand, furious at myself.
It just growls at you, Hylan, slavering. You see its saliva just hissing as it hits the ground, murder in its gaze. Renaissance, it's your turn.
I'm gonna swing through Hylan again. I've got just enough left to get back around next to Corbin, and I'm gonna take 2 swings with Heavensfall. First hit is a 26.
Yep, that'll hit.
7 bludgeoning, 2 radiant, and I get the hex on this guy now. Okay, this time I actually get 6 off the hex.
You know, guess what? That's all it had left. It had 6 hit points.
Yes!
So, triple kill here. Tell us how you end this last one.
Okay, so I smack it with Heaven's Fall, and it staggers a little bit, and then its skin starts to rot and molt off of the necrosis of the hex. It's screaming and thrashing around, and then the hex hits its brain, and it collapses into the tar.
Who has a diamond?
Check Lulu, I got Ophelia.
And Corbin is going to kneel down next to Ophelia. He just knows where that diamond is, and he's going to reach in his pocket, and he's going to cast Revivify using a 4th level spell slot. He's going to throw the diamond up into the air and say, "Ilmota, here it is." And then he's going to take his other hand, and just like he did with Ren, and he's going to smack her across the face
and say, "Come on, come back to us. He can't have you yet. You're with us. You're with us. Come on."
Ophelia.
Ophelia, in your mind, you are walking into a beautiful green pasture with Azor. Everyone you know is there. Your family, your friends, and they are forgiving. They love you. They don't care what has happened in the past. That everything is going to be a beautiful afterlife. And then you hear the sounds of your friends. You hear, "Come on, Ophelia." And then the sound of Corbin's voice.
"No, I could do this. Ilmota, help me."
And then you hear the sound of glass or crystal shattering, and your hand slips out of Azor's, and he looks distraught. He looks sad. He looks worried. He looks afraid. He says, "Where are you going? Where are you going?"
"I can't join you yet, Azor, but I will be here soon."
"No, no, come back. Come back." And you hear his voice echoing and his voice receding into the darkness. And like cold water, waken in Costici's maw.
"Ophelia.
What happened? I had the most..."
"You're here with us. You're good."
You have 1 hit point, by the way.
"I'm here with you."
Ophelia, when you say, I'm here with you, in your mind, you hear an alien voice, and it says, and I'm here with you.
Terrifying.
Can somebody heal her anymore? She looks terrible.
Well, she can have 13 temps. If anyone has less than 13, they can take 13. And then my Twilight Sanctuary runs out.
Lulu is still unconscious as far as you can see on the ground.
What happened to Lulu?
Oh, shit. Can I do a medicine check on her?
Yeah, go for it.
11?
No idea.
Is her heart beating? Is she alive?
She is alive, but you have no idea what's happened to her.
She said it's him, not him. Who? Does anybody know who she's talking about?
Can I? I don't know what this voice is. I have my memory erased.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. You don't remember.
But
holy it certainly
shit.
Remembers you.
Can I try to do a, I don't know what check that would be to see if I can identify this voice, what this is? This.
I'm afraid that's kind of impossible.
Urban's going to cast Healing Word on Ophelia to give her some hit points. That's second level. So you get 9 plus those temps plus the 1.
I don't want to use all my magic. Maybe we should use maybe one of the potions.
Can I do an, I don't know, would it be an arcana or a medicine check to try to figure out what's wrong with her?
Yeah, medicine is probably the best. I mean, you could use arcana if you feel that it may be magically related rather than just sort of physically related.
Just to see if I can get her up, I will lay on hands for 5 hit points on Lulu.
Yeah, I mean, with the 5 hit points, yeah, she springs.
Oh, okay.
Springs
oh,
to activity. Okay. Her eyes fly open.
You're good. You're all right.
You're okay. Ophelia's here. Ophelia's back.
Oh, and she just flies to you, Ophelia. Her trunk wraps around you. Her little stubby arms give you the biggest hug ever.
I hug her back. Lulu, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, but I'm here now.
I'm so glad you're here.
Glad you're both still here. I thought we'd lost both of you there.
Lulu, what happened to you?
She sort of shies away from you and she says, I had another one of those visions that I've been having. I think it's making all of my memories finally come back. This time, I remember that there was a being that we fought long ago. A demon like that one, but much worse. Its name was Yinagu. I don't remember much, but I remember we were in a place that we fought him once. I don't remember where, but Zarya was there, and I was helping her. And I remember Yinagu, he wanted to destroy Zariel's sword. He hates it as much as he hates her. I have a really bad feeling. Maybe he's looking for the sword just as much as we are.
And then she stops talking.
Can we do a religion check on this Yinagu?
Absolutely.
And he will cast guidance on himself as he tries to search his brain for all those books that he fell asleep in and hopes that he can remember something. Corbin rolled a 13.
You don't remember everything that you read, but you remember enough. Yinagu is a prince of demon kind. Yinagu is the demon lord of ruin and destruction. Yinagu seeks to collapse civilization itself and butcher all that stands between him and his rabid slaughter of mortals. His demands are simple. Kill, you remember reading. Follow his commands, and you shall know blessings beyond your dreams.
Does Corbin know who would generally follow this guy?
Anyone who intends to fulfill dreams of butchery, ruin, destruction.
Corbin tells everybody that.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we really can't stay here discussing this. She's going to notice that we just sprung her prisoner, right? We got to get out of here.
Oh, that's a good point. All right.
We have to get out of here and we need to find somewhere to rest.
Yeah, Corbin, can you carry them out?
I can make 2 trips, I think. I have 3 left, so 1 up, 1 down. So I could make the 2 trips. Ren, you're good down here?
Well, yeah, take them first. Take them
all
first.
Right. While we go, just look around, see if there's anything here, like those chains or anything. Maybe there's something, a clue or anything.
Yeah, all right, just go.
All right, so Corbin will cast Depths of Night, and up he'll go with Ophelia and Hylan, and Lulu, come with us.
All right.
And she flies with you.
He'll go up. As soon as he's up there, he'll set them off. Make sure there's nothing up there. You want a perception check or anything?
Sure.
29.
You definitely don't see anything in range.
All right, I'll be back in 2 minutes, all right?
In the time that it took you to fly up, Gargoth has been speaking to you, Renaissance.
You haven't told them, have you?
Told them what, Gargs?
Don't play a word with me.
I told Lulu.
Oh, it's good to know that you have some trust. don't believe that the others will want to know.
Do you want something, Gox? I'm a bit busy here, hoping that I don't get crushed by an archdevil.
Especially the one you're related to.
Oh. You're two secrets ahead of me, Gox. No, I ain't told any of them that.
Very well.
Edit stops talking.
All right, Rhett, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Right, let's go. Hold on. Up we go. Corbin will fly him to the top.
When we're halfway up, I say, Corbin, somebody ought to know. Just a feeling going down like that. Put it in my head that any of us could check out at any time. So here it is. Luxori, she's my mother.
This is not the time to be clowning around. It's serious.
I ain't. Look at me.
Right.
Do I look like I'm clowning?
Shit.
Yeah. Shit.
Did you know that before?
I didn't know that before last time we spoke outside the Crypt of the Hellriders.
Is that why she left?
Yeah. She figured it out about the same time I did, and she seemed conflicted about it.
Well, I mean, I guess that's good, because we were in trouble in that fight. I don't care about her. I care about you. Are you all right?
I'm just saying, I think there's a chance to talk to her, or to help her in some way. I'm just saying, if she shows up again, just give me a chance to talk to her.
I can do that for you. I've trusted you for, well, ever since we met, so I still trust you. I know there's stuff going on, and he glances at the shield, but I trust you. I won't tell the others, that's up to you.
There's something else.
What?
I can't leave Avernus till Gargoth is free.
What does free mean? Like?
Free.
Not like throw him in the sticks?
No, I kind of bang the shield against my breastplate. Free.
All right, let's say we free him. He might kill us anyway, right?
Might do.
How did that happen?
That's complicated.
All right, I don't need to know. All right, we gotta figure it out.
All right. I'd like to tell the others in my own time, but if something happens where you've got to tell them, then you've got to tell them.
All right, I got your back, you know that, right? Always.
All right, yeah.
Corbin will fly us up and land, and he's not going to make eye contact with Ophelia or Hyland because he now knows two secrets, and he's trying to hide it, but, you know, it's Corbin, so he's just going to be like, all right, what's the plan now? And he's just going to look off in another direction.
I'm going to run up and hug Renaissance because I wasn't totally positive that nothing was going to happen down there.
He's all right. He's fine.
I look around. Is there any place that, like, no, we can't stay here.
We got to at least get away from here.
Yeah. Nothing for it then. Go on, Ophelia.
I play the flute.
It's a beautiful, haunting melody. And after Ophelia finishes, you see a glowing apparition of Olanthius, but not Olanthius as the figure in plate armor with simply his skull remaining, but sort of a glowing, almost ghost-like humanoid shape of what you could only assume to be what Olanthius looked like in life. Perhaps in his mid-30s, a regal posture, a noble visage, a mustache, and a goatee. His eyes show that he's definitely seen things in his lifetime that shows a sense of experience. And he looks at the four of you and says, have you done the deed?
It's done. Beseechi's free and headed for her.
I see. Yes, his bellowing could be heard throughout Avernus. She will consider him a nuisance, but enough that she will turn her attention to him and away from you as you head to Scab.
What's the Scab?
The Scab is where the Bleeding Citadel lies. It is a mountain of flesh. It is all that remains from the wound in the very ground of Avernus. Under the Scab there are tunnels, caverns. At the heart is the Bleeding Citadel itself, where the sword lies.
Can you show us? I hold the map out towards him.
He lifts a ghostly arm and points a finger at a point on the map that none of you would ever think that the Scab might be. The good news is that it's pretty close by, all things considered. As the crow flies, perhaps a mile or two from the River Styx, where this sort of strange formation has risen from the very ground of Avernus. Some kind of reddish blob or mass.
We're going there.
Make haste.
Thank you, Olanthius. We hope you can find peace at the end of this.
One favor, if I may.
What is it?
If you do reach the Bleeding Citadel, do give my love to Yael when you see her.
And then he disappears.
Did you hear that, Lulu? Do you think Yael's still alive?
Oh, no. She's not. She's not alive at all. I don't understand what he meant.
Maybe she's a ghost like him. Or maybe he just meant pay our respects to her tomb or her grave.
I don't know. I'm worried, Ren.
I know, but look, that was really bad down there. But we all got through it by watching each other's backs, right? Protecting each other. We fought really well down there. And we'll do the same in this scab, and we'll do the same in the Bleeding Citadel. We just bought ourselves a chance while she's busy with Costici. So let's not waste it. I say we set out towards the scab, try to get maybe halfway there, maybe stop to regather our strength, right? I just don't want to do that right here on the lip of the moor.
I understand. But, I mean, we don't have the rag-a-wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we don't have it anymore, so we're just going to walk. We're going to walk?
Well, I mean, I'm going to fly, but you going to walk?
Well, we didn't start out with it, and I guess we won't finish with it either. It serves us well.
All right.
Maybe it will draw less attention.
Yeah, it's less noisy, at least.
I guess we're off, then.
We should get moving. He said about an hour away, so let's get, you know, let's maybe head west for 30 minutes, see if we can find a place to just take a short rest, at least.
Corbin, do you have anything left to make the hut?
I can just do it, but it'll take 10 minutes. I can always do that.
Right. Maybe if we need it, it'll be better in the middle of the sand, you know, just it'll disappear.
Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah.
All right, Matt. So I think we're going to just try setting out on foot, walking west about 30 minutes away from Castici's Maw towards the scab, and then start scouting around for a good place to set the hut up for a short rest.
If that's the case, first of all, please make survival checks.
7 for Renaissance.
Corbin got a 20.
Ophelia got a 21.
I'm trying to figure out where I am. I feel like I don't have a grasp on it. So I'm going to use a psionic energy die to add that amount. Psy bolstered neck. So that's a 12.
Looks like it's going to come down to Lulu.
Oh, dear.
I still can't be me.
Survival's my dump stat.
Nope, she rolled a 6. You guys traverse 30 minutes to the west. You don't find any clearings or any kind of rocks that you can hide behind to put the hut. It's basically just rocks, sand, bones, silt, pools of blood, and boiling brain matter as far as the eye can see.
Corbin, Avernus ain't cooperating, so I guess we just have to hope that blending in the hut will have to be camouflaged enough.
Right, I'll make it the disgusting color that this place is. Hopefully that'll be good.
So Corbin will find the best spot he can find and ritually cast Liamin's tiny hut. It'll be nice and cool and comfy in there, and we are going to take a short rest.
Short rest away, folks.
Nice.
Ophelia.
Yes?
What's your favorite flower? What's your favorite flower in the spring when you smell it in the air? It makes you happy.
A rose.
Okay. I'm going to use prestidigitation and make it smell like roses.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad you're here with us.
Corbin has, just so you guys know, no diamonds left. So if someone else has a diamond.
I've got one.
Okay.
I'd say based on the fact that you guys didn't do so great at the survival check, then what I'll say is if you continue to move towards the point on the map, you realize that it is not an hour. It is unfortunately much further. But that's actually a good thing in a way, because it moves you closer to a point where you feel like you may be able, if you can see a place that would serve as a place to stop, to possibly even take a long rest if you could find some shelter.
Yes, please.
Great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Once we complete the short rest, dome drops. We set off again towards where we hope the scab is, and we will continue to scout, looking for a place to maybe get a long rest in.
Give me a survival check one more time, please.
Some guidance, Corbin.
For fuck's sake.
Can I do Ophelia. Guidance on a survival?
Sure, it's a skill check.
Ophelia, maybe bardic inspiration?
Yeah, who wants one?
Who's really bad at it? Mine's +1.
Corbin's +4.
Mine's +4 as well.
Hyland?
I already rolled and it was terrible.
Can I have it, Ophelia? Because maybe it'll salvage my... Okay.
Yep.
And Corbin will give himself guidance.
Oh, of course I did well anyway. Yeah, mine turns into a 22.
And Corbin got a 15.
Ophelia got a 19.
Renaissance, I think with a 22, you probably see some semblance of shelter first. Perhaps it's been dug into the ground by, goodness knows, whatever kind of monster would make it its burrow. But it seems, at least from initial investigation, to have been abandoned. You see some bones of a variety of creatures, but there's nothing in there, at least right now.
Over there, abandoned hell burrow. Perfect.
You want to clear out some of those bones first, or should we leave them?
This is fine. This will just kick some of the bones out of the way. It makes a man out of you.
It's a crick in your neck when you sleep on a bone, but all right.
Oh, you ain't slept on bones? Oh, you must be fancy.
Yeah, I slept on a rock. That's basically what they gave me.
At school for friendless boys, we would have killed for a bone bed like this. Right, I'll take first watch, though, all the same. Since we were starting a long rest, I'll go ahead and use my last level one spell slot to string an alarm across the mouth of the burrow.
Orbit will take the second watch.
I'll take third watch.
Perception check for our first watch, please.
9.
You do not see or hear anything out of the ordinary whilst in the hell burrow.
Corbin, wake up.
What? Oh,
wake up.
What?
You got watch. It's your turn.
All right. Get some sleep.
You warmed up the bones for me.
Yeah, they're nice right there. Yeah, put them in a little mat. See that?
Oh, yeah. I see. That's clever.
That one over there is pointy. Be careful.
All right.
Corbin perception. Corbin rolled a 32 for his perception.
See everything within miles. You see the entirety of Avernus. I would say, based on the fact that you guys aren't too far from Kostchichi's maw, you see traveling through the sky and hovering over Kostchichi's maw, even from this distance, 10, 15 miles away, an enormous floating structure which flies in a very slow, almost gliding pattern and stops, as if not hampered by gravity at all, over Kostchichi's maw. It's like a building flying through the air.
Wow.
Just floating above the Avernian landscape.
That doesn't look good.
He thinks about waking the others, but if it doesn't come our way, he's not going to. Does it just hover there for a while?
It does seem to hover there for about 10 minutes. Because you got a 32 in perception, I'd say that your eyes are keen enough to spot that there are things that are flying around it and down from it into the maw itself. Dozens of smaller creatures, some actually much larger, maybe a half a dozen of them that have bat-like wings. Even from this distance, you can see their size, which means that they are immense.
He's just going to keep an eye on it, make sure he doesn't see anything coming our way.
You don't.
All right, now he does not wake up the others then. He's going to let everyone get their rest. Is it touching the ground or is it?
It is not. It is over the ground. As you can see, like the bottom of it, it curves like a claw, but it does not touch the ground. It's made out of infernal iron. You can see that.
And when you say things are flying from it, do they seem like they're coming out off the top or do they seem like they're just coming out of it and flying down?
Various places.
All right, while he's sitting here looking at it, not that he's an artist, but he's going to take out a piece of parchment and try to sketch it a little bit, just so he has some way to describe it to his friend. Just the general shape of it.
All right, if that's the end of your watch, you're more than welcome to give it to the next person in line.
Harlan, yeah. Harlan, wake up.
Is the thing still there, or has it left?
No, it's still there.
I point to it and I go, look, can you see that over there?
And I show her the thing I drew.
Can I see it?
Yeah.
There's things flying out of it. You see them? Off the top, off the sides.
Yeah, I see it.
I think that's, you know, Zariel coming to do what we did.
I think we're lucky to get this rest in. I'm glad that we're doing it. Because I think it's going to be a while before we get another one.
Ren was right to get us out of there. He's smart.
Yeah. Corbin.
Yeah?
I know that there are things he's not telling me. And I don't want you to tell me. Just want to say thank you for being such a good friend to him. And even though I wish he would talk to me about it, it really helps me to know that you're there for him and that he can confide in you. And I know that you're a really big help to him. So, thank you.
You're welcome, but I don't really know what you're talking about.
I know.
He's my friend.
I don't know what I'm talking about. What am I talking
about? I'm his friend, and I got his back. And he knows that. Always. And you too. And Ophelia. And Lulu. I never had real friends before. It's weird.
It's good though, right?
I guess. Except I worry about all of you. You're gonna die or something. Scary.
I know. It's the price we pay for caring.
I know Ophelia lost someone, but close to her. I mean, I lost my sister. We weren't close, but I still cared. I can't even imagine what she went through. I think that's how I would feel, you know, if something happened to one of you lot. It's good having friends, but I also don't like it too.
Yeah, it makes you very vulnerable. I try not to think about it too much because especially here, there's kind of a place I won't let myself go in my mind. I don't know if I'll ever come back.
Well, that's fair. You know I got your back too, right? You know that.
Yeah, of course. I have yours too, and I'm going to prove it in a way that you're going to hate. And I'm going to hug him.
Uh-oh. I'm really smelly. You don't want to hug me. I don't smell like roses.
I don't care. Thanks, Corbin. Go to bed.
All right. Good night.
Have a good sleep.
All right.
And Corbin will go over and lay down next to Lulu.
Lulu is sleeping soundly. But as you look over at Ophelia, you see her eyes are moving rapidly in REM. I'm going to tell Ophelia what it is that she has dreams about.
Uh-oh.
You dream that you are walking in a confined space. It's hot, uncomfortably hot. You've dealt with the heat of Avernus, but this is very much humid and dripping with moisture. And your feet are squitching along the ground. Or is it the ground? It feels like you're not really walking on stone or gravel or sand anymore. It feels like something almost alive. Ahead of you, there is some kind of a opening, although it seems almost organic in nature, like some kind of an orifice almost. As you approach, this orifice spirals open with a wet slopping noise. And you see beyond into a chamber that is almost organically created with some kind of a strange object in the middle. Some kind of a raised dais or perhaps a pool. You see that this pool, as you approach, is filled with a greenish yellow liquid. There is a tall humanoid figure that stands in front of it. And in your mind, you hear that same unrecognizable voice. You will be one of us soon, child, as it was always meant to be. Your glory is our glory. Come to us. And it turns, and although you cannot make out its visage, you see two yellowish eyes peering from a distended ovoid head. And instead of a mouth, you see four tentacle-like feelers that reach for you. And then you wake up.
Ophelia, you okay?
I just had a really horrible dream. I don't know, there was this monster and he said I'd be joining him soon. I'd be one of them. I don't know. It was very strange.
Sorry, dreams can be really terrible here.
They can.
Feel really real.
Yes, they can.
Do you want to go back to sleep or do you want to watch with me or?
I think I'll stay up with you a little while. I don't want to go back to sleep just yet.
You want to play cards?
Okay.
So we'll just play some cards for a little while until you get sleepy enough to go back to sleep.
After you finish your third watch, your long rest is complete.
Woo-hoo. Well, not much further. We will drop the hut again and set out towards the scab.
Those of you who have not yet seen this floating fortress now see it in all of its terrible glory, floating over Kostchichi's maw. Except it's not floating over Kostchichi's maw. It's floating in your direction. Slowly, inexorably, it moves towards the scab. It's probably about 5 or 6 miles behind you. It may be, in fact, likely that this thing may overtake you.
Can Corbin do a perception check to see if he can gauge the speed and how fast we walk?
I'd say a perception will be fine.
Perception, he's going to give himself guidance. That is a 28.
This thing will probably overtake you in an hour.
All right, I think we got about an hour. We got to get moving.
All right, I don't think there's anything to be done about it. Let's just get as close as we can. Hope they don't see us.
Good idea.
Yeah.
This next roll will determine whether or not this fortress will actually overtake you or not. I would like a group survival check. So we're going to go with more successes than failures here.
Let's roll out the guidance and the inspiration, right?
Yep. Corbin will give himself guidance.
I will give bardic inspiration to Hylan.
Thanks, Ophelia.
You're welcome.
Hylan got a 22.
Renaissance got a 2.
Corbin got a 23.
Ophelia got a 16.
Okay, that's 3 successes. Yeah, that's a success. So I would say that you do, in fact, make it to what you can only assume to be the scab before the Fortress of Zariel overtakes you. But not without you seeing it perhaps a mile or a mile and a half behind you. This titanic thing in the sky. And you hear a voice emanating from it from miles around. And this voice is full of malice and hatred and regalness.
Intruders, hear me, for I am Zariel, Archduchess of Avernus. Your journey has brought you here, and it is here that your interference in my affairs shall end. Know this, I am not to be trifled with. My rule is absolute. I am the only power holding back the tide of unending suffering and chaos to be visited on the plains of existence. And to those who betray me, those who I once loved, you will find yourselves ensnared in a fate far worse than you could ever imagine. You may be tempted to believe that you can challenge my authority or thwart my plans for Elturel. But let me assure you, such arrogance will only lead to your downfall. I have seen countless champions rise and fall, their dreams shattered by the unending might of Avernus. Do not think that you are exempt from this fate simply because you have bested my lieutenants and raised mortal arms against me in a pathetic effort to prevent me from winning the blood war for all time. You are but insects, and I will not hesitate to crush you underfoot.
Lulu looks at the four of you and says,
I think she's gone.
The five of you now stand in front of a monumental mass of what seems to be bloodied flesh, which rises hundreds of feet into the sky, topped by a glittering white building.
Man.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the Scab. You can see that there are hellish infernal chains that are tethered to the building, and that this red flesh almost seems to be growing out of Avernus itself, so much so as to threaten the building atop it, that it would overcome and swallow the building itself. You stand before the Scab, the home of the Bleeding Citadel, and the final resting place, the Sword of Zariel. You all reach level 11.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Woo!
Yes!
Yes! Oh, man.
Yes!
Yay!
Hi, everybody. The show will be back shortly for the second half. First, it's time to tell you about a new show coming this fall from Cast Party. Beginning in October 2023, join us for a new actual play series presented by Cast Party and our friends at EN World Publishing's Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. To celebrate the publication of Level Up A5E's epic new hardcover adventure To Save a Kingdom, we're returning to Holdenshire to face haunted castles, the madness of a fairy queen, the lost secrets of dwarven ruins, and the greatest threat of all, the dreaded dragon Siroth, ruler of Skull Mountain and tyrant of the Desolation. This new actual play series, releasing in both podcast form and on our YouTube channel, will use Level Up A5E rules to enhance the classic Dungeons & Dragons 5E experience. While you're waiting for the new show, this summer is a great time for a rewatch or re-listen to Podcast Party Memories of Holdenshire, our previous Level Up A5E series, which serves as a prelude for To Slay a Dragon. You can find the link for the YouTube version in the show notes, and you can, of course, find Memories of Holdenshire episodes 1 through 7 right here in this podcast feed. Hey, would you like to race an archdevil's flying fortress across the plains of Avernus like our heroes are doing in this episode? Cast Party's professional dungeon masters are available to hire for online games. We have games for kids as well as adults, and our DMs can run almost any of the official Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition adventures, as well as third-party adventures, and even some we've created ourselves. We can also run games for Pathfinder 2E, Blades in the Dark, Dungeon Crawl Classics, Alien the Role-Playing Game, Monster of the Week, and many others. Check us out at cast-party.com and follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. As always, we're offering monthly free adventures with our Dungeon Masters. These free games fill up quickly, so if you'd like to grab a spot, you should join our email list or our Discord server. Links to both can be found at cast-party.com. You can watch episodes of Podcast Party on YouTube, complete with artwork, battle maps, character portraits, and even a little bit of animation. Check the show notes for the link or visit cast-party.com. If you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. We'd love to hear from you. Message us on social media or email us at info@cast-party.com. Follow us on Facebook at CastPartyDND, on Twitter at CastParty2, on Instagram at Cast_Party, on TikTok at Cast_Party, or on Threads at Cast_Party. Thanks very much for listening. And now, back to our adventure in Avernus. The five of you are now staring at this great, disgusting scab the size of a large hill rising up from a stinking swamp of blood. You look out and see the domed top of an alabaster temple poking through this mound of flesh and blood, this appropriately named scab. You also have seen that there are many black iron chains converging on the building, attaching somehow within this grotesque mound.
One end of the chain is attached to the building, and the other end of the chain is just sort of attached to strong points on the ground.
Correct.
Okay.
No matter how many disgusting things we see here, I don't get inured to it.
Does this look like the same building we saw, remember when Alder Raven God, when we were doing the...
Yeah, when he shared his vision with us.
Yeah, it looks the same, right?
Right, Matt?
It does, in fact.
Yes. We all look yes. Sort of into the middle distance.
Yes. Lulu, who also shared that vision with you.
Yeah, this is it. They call it the Bleeding Citadel. I think I can see why.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any obvious path or road or approach going up the scab to where the citadel is?
Make a perception check.
I can help you. I'll also give a look.
So with advantage, that is a 15.
This titanic hill of flesh and blood, disgusting as it is to say, doesn't have any roads that are built into it. Nor does it have any obvious ways to get inside. The citadel atop it doesn't have any doors. Perhaps the doors that once were part of it have been consumed almost completely from this mound of flesh.
It looks like sort of like only the upper towers and maybe part of a couple of basilicas are sort of still sticking up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But you can see with a 15 from your vantage point that about 2/3 of the way up this hill of blood and scab, there is a cave of some sort that looks somehow dug into the side of the scab. Might take some climbing, but you could get to it.
How steep is the incline of the scab to get up to that cave? Is it a slope or is it like a vertical incline?
There will be some climbing that will need to happen, so you would need to affix some kind of a rope probably to aid your climb.
I look miserably at Corbin. It's our mortal enemy. Climbing things.
I don't like climbing. You think with these long arms I'd be good at it, but...
Ophelia's good at climbing. I'm garbage.
Yeah. It's the greatest adversary we've faced in the whole campaign, honestly, is climbing
it's
things.
It's true.
Lulu looks at you and says, I don't know why y'all just fly.
Well, because we have limited use of that.
Lulu, do you think you could fly up to the cave with holding a rope and try to secure it?
Oh, sure. No problem, sugar. Do you have a 200-foot rope?
Oh, is that how high the cave is?
Well, the mound is about 300, so it's about 200 feet up.
Well, we can tie ropes together. Don't we have like 50 feet of rope each or something?
Yeah, but I feel like the amount of checks that Matt's going to have us do to climb 200 feet is going to kill us all, so we should find another way of getting up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about this? I promise to only make two checks for you.
I just feel like if I use my wings now, that's it until
I sympathize with
again.
That.
I might need flying if we have to get out of there.
Yeah.
Listen, how much damage can you take rolling down a flesh hill? So
it'll be pretty soft, right?
Yeah, all right. How about this? I understand we've all got some PTSD over climbing things. It's perfectly understandable. What if we tie everything together so we do have 200 feet of rope betwixt us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Lulu hopefully finds a strong point there to tie it off. Ophelia perhaps gives me some bardic inspiration. I make the climb solo. And then once I'm up there, I ought to be able to kind of help you get up by pulling the rope up with you attached to it, you know, to sort of make it safer for you. Like we did with the children, you know?
Oh, So now we're children.
No, that sounds great. I'm into that.
Lula points at the chain and says, now, I don't want to make any kind of strange suggestions, but we could always climb the chain.
Well, all right, Lulu, but does the chain go to the cave?
Well, it goes up high enough. And she points with her trunk, and the chain goes up in a decent slope towards one of the upper portions of the citadel. From there, you could potentially drop down and go to the cave.
From the point at which the chain reaches the citadel, how far down a drop is it to get to the cave?
Maybe 20 or 30 feet, based on your perception check.
If we climbed up the chain to the point where it's near the cave,
it would be 20 feet.
Oh, we could each use our rope to tie like a little loop too. So if we fell.
Okay, I'm willing to do that because I'm not very strong. So unless I can tie myself up, I'm not going to do very well just hand over handing it.
Yeah, why don't we daisy chain ourselves together, right?
I think that's a great idea.
Like mountaineers, mm-hmm. I'll go first. That way, if somebody slips, the rest of us are still holding onto the chain.
You know what? I think I'm going to fly. Fuck this.
Okay, I'm not. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep my wings in.
See, he's starting to get scared.
I'll tell you what, Corbin. If we're all tied together, we're going to be all right. How many times a day can you fly now, Corbin?
4.
All right, you know what, Corbin? I think you should fly.
Thanks for the confidence.
No, you've got 4 of them. No, I mean,
you're right. I think I should fly. I mean, yeah. History here is just not in my favor.
No,
Corbin is flying. Would it make sense for him to carry someone who isn't good at climbing?
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
I am not good at climbing, but the thing is, I don't know who is. Probably you are, Renesis, because you're strong, and I know Ophelia is very good at many things, but I don't know if climbing is one of them.
Corbin can carry 2 people, so I think...
Oh, hilariously, climbing is the thing that I am not good at.
Oh, okay.
it's the one thing.
Famously, as we've discussed the many times we've almost died climbing things before, Corbin does have a powerful build and can carry 2 of you up. So I think you've not got enough flying to come back and get me, Corbin. So I think you should fly up with the 2 of them, and then I'll make the climb.
Or all right, I'll guide you, and then you start your way up, and then we'll come up.
I give you bardic inspiration.
Okay.
Oh, wait, before you go. He touches Renaissance on the head. You have a vigilant blessing.
Advantage on my next initiative roll, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, just to make things a little crazy, Corbin is going to cast aid at 3rd level, and he's going to cast it on Ren, Hylin, and then he's going to look at Ophelia and go, if I'll give you this, are you going to go charging into battle with that little skinny sword?
No.
Insight check.
No, I'm not going to.
Ren,
cheers.
Do you want to give me the diamond? Because if you hold it and, you know, and I can't get to you or something, then I don't know. There's no reason for you to hold it, right? Because if I die, no one can do anything about it.
Corbin.
What?
That ain't true.
What? What do you mean?
Well, I've seen you do it, and now I know how to do it. What? Well, I'm going to use it without...
Don't do it.
I'm going to use everything but the diamond, right? We'll just do it. Look, I'm just going to use this, pick up this piece of... tear off a little piece of fleshy scab thing. I'm just going to use this.
Right.
Right, but otherwise I'll do... Just look and see if I'm doing all the things right. And I do all of
Sorry, I missed something. You tear off a piece of the fleshy scab ground?
Yeah.
Okay. Please make a wisdom saving throw.
Jesus. Great. For a bit. He's going to kill us all.
Okay, well, it is a nat 20 for a 28.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Of course it is.
So as I was saying, Corbin, what you think something's wrong? What? What are you all looking at?
Did something happen? Did the ground rumble?
No, the ground didn't rumble. But when Renaissance digs his hand into the flesh of this mound, he sort of like shivers a little bit.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, I drop it.
All right, I believe
as
you.
A wet, okay. I'm just gonna glop on the ground.
Yeah. All right.
Gross.
I'm just gonna pretend I'm holding a diamond in this hand, but look at the rest of my gesture and make sure that I'm doing it right. And I perform
the
rest.
A little that way. Yep.
Okay.
Good.
I sort of like CPR type gestures. I think that's it.
Wow. All right then.
I don't want to leave you here to climb by yourself.
Well, I've got the inspiration. I've got the guidance. I've got the vigilant blessing.
And we'll fly when he's like halfway so we can kind of keep with him.
I'm going to get started first. I'm going to get started first.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Ilmata guide you.
Cheers. I start climbing the chain, Matt.
I will save you for a bit. Let's go ahead and shift to the flying trio here of Corbin, Hylin, and Ophelia. Corbin, as you fly, holding these two lovely ladies in your arms, with Lulu trailing behind you, I assume.
Yep, come on, Lulu, keep up.
You guys begin to zero in on the area where this cave is. The three of you are flying towards this cave. The closer you get to it, you begin to see claw marks in the surface of the scab.
Ugh.
So whatever made this cave had enormous taloned fingers that they used to dig a hole directly into the flesh of this hill.
Oh.
I'm starting to second guess not just flying everyone up to the top.
I look back, how's Ren doing?
Ren's climbing. He's getting the hang of it. In fact, Ren, go ahead and make an athletics check for me.
That is a 21.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's going pretty fast, actually. He's getting the hang of it pretty well.
Maybe we finally got the hang of this climbing thing.
Yeah, you see Ren give like a tiny thumbs up from however far away.
Yeah. Two hands.
Yeah.
Ren, as you look, just glance.
I don't look down, I'll tell you
back. No, okay. That's a good thing. It's don't look down. But you do look backwards towards this sword-shaped floating edifice that was miles away from your position. And it does seem to be getting closer to the scab. It's slowly floating inexorably towards the scab.
All right, I just start muttering my oaths under my breath to focus and try to climb quickly and safely.
I'm just staring at the little speck.
Threats I face are cunning, powerful, subversive. Be ever alert for their corruption. Fuck. Loyalty. Never accept gifts or favors from fiends or those who truck with them. Stay true to your order. Fuck. Your comrades and your duty.
Ophelia, as Corbin deposits you right at the mouth of this cave, you can see that the interior of the tunnel before you, which is what you would assume that the interior of a heart vessel would look like. It's sort of pulsing with vascularity. You can sort of see down about 60 feet. There is something at the end of this tunnel. It seems to reflect light.
I mentioned this to the others. There's something in there that's, I don't know, that's shining or sparkling.
Can Corbin look down?
I can just see a flicker.
Corbin, you see the same thing that Ophelia does. You see that this tunnel terminates in perhaps some kind of a T intersection, so to speak. Nothing here is at right angles. Everything is slowly sloping downward. You can see that clearly the walls have been carved again from these claws. Whatever was in here certainly had a maniacal intensity digging down into the citadel itself. Inset almost into the flesh of the wall. Something just at the edge of your vision is glinting.
As soon as Ren gets here, I'm gonna give everybody eyes of night. Is he coming? What's he doing?
I'm gonna create a psychic connection between the four of us so we can speak without speaking, because I think as we're sneaking into this place, it would probably be best to be as quiet as possible. And also, I want to know that Renaissance is okay, so I choose the four of us, and I am going to see how many hours it will last for. It will last for 2 hours, and I just say, Renaissance, how's it going?
He looks like he's about maybe 5 or 6 minutes if he's going at that rate until he gets to the mouth of the cave.
You hear against the endless terrors that lie beyond the stars. Fuck. Your blade must be forever sharp and my mind keen to survive what lies beyond. Back to the top. I am the sword.
Okay. I'll leave you alone. So I'm going to just talk to the other two.
You said there's something shiny in there?
Yeah, right down there.
Seems like it. Oh, what could that be?
I see. Hylan.
Yes?
See that thing coming?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, stop dragging your ass and get up here.
It'll be here soon.
That ain't helping.
No, just
are you
get
sure?
Up here safe. Take your time. Come on.
So Renaissance continues his climb. He's now sort of above your position, almost exactly above your position. So could drop down, but it's still going to be a 30-foot drop down to where you are.
I'm going to tie off my rope here.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to climb down the rope to them.
All right. That's fine. I will go ahead and hand wave that.
I swing the rope so they can grab it. So it's not just
that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he climbs down to your position. And now the four of you are at the mouth of this circular gaping wound that forms a tunnel that is descending into darkness.
Lulu, could you just untie my rope up there?
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
She flies up and with her trunk dexterously removes your rope.
Cheers. I put my rope back in my pack.
When she's back down, Corbin's gonna go, Ilmalta, let my friends see. And he's gonna cast Eyes of Night, so everybody now has 300 feet of dark vision. All four.
Yay!
Including Lulu.
Yay, I love that spell.
Nice.
I'm glad Lily isn't here to see this. I think we should try to be a little stealthy, if possible, and I sort of look at Renaissance. Remember the things that we talked about?
Yeah, but I gestured to my armor and my shield and everything.
No, I know, but remember we talked about how if you'd hold your arms a little further away.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't look great, but, you know, that's not what we're here for.
All right.
Okay.
What I'm hearing is that you guys want to make a stealth check, so go ahead and do that.
Ren will have guidance.
Here, do you remember the spell now yet? Guidance.
Highland got a 22.
Corbin got a 26 with a natural 20.
Renaissance got a 9.
Renaissance. Ophelia rolled a 15.
Lulu rolled a 3. It is a group stealth check, but it is certainly a success.
Lulu, it's all right. No, it's not our fault, Lulu.
It kind of is.
I'm sorry. No, Renaissance, I'm sorry. I was a little distracted because, well, I guess I should be whispering this, but I feel it. I feel the sword. It's the weirdest feeling. I don't know how I know, but I feel like I know where it is. I mean, we know it's here, but I feel like I know kind of the direction.
Fantastic.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Harlan, you going first?
Yeah.
All right, I'm right behind you.
Okay. I'm going to check for things.
Yeah, sure. What are you checking for?
I'm sure it just looks like one disgusting mess in here, but if I can see where maybe a foot might go through, I'm going to like step a little tentatively first and feel around and keep going. I just don't want anyone to fall through the floor. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, there's this sort of spongy mass on the floor, the walls, which your feet don't sink into like mud, but they sort of rebound as if you're walking on organic material, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
There is about 10 feet ahead of you this sort of very intense splat of reddish fluid right in the middle of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You can only assume that it's blood.
Island, something might have died there. Might be a trap.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm actively looking for that.
Make a perception check.
Can I help her since I'm right with her?
Yeah, go ahead. You can make it with advantage.
That's a 25.
Yeah, you don't see anything that would indicate like a trap or anything, you know, hazardous. As you get closer to this glinting surface at the back of this tunnel, though, you're able to see it a little better. However, your foot slips a little bit in that pool of blood. And as it does so, it seeps through the leather of your boot. I'd like you to make a wisdom saving throw, please.
You have a +3.
Cool. That's a 16.
It's the darndest feeling, Hylan. You felt cold there for a second, and not cold temperature-wise. Like, you just felt like all of your emotions were being shut off, except for a feeling of intense cruelty.
Everybody stop.
What?
Don't step in that. There's something strange with that.
Sorry, is that like a passing feeling, or does it persist?
It does not persist.
Are you
all
right?
It goes away after about 2 or 3 seconds.
I stepped in it, and it changed how I felt, and it was not good. There's something wrong with that, with the blood. Just don't touch it. Don't even let it touch your shoes.
Can we walk around it, or do we have to jump over it?
You can jump over it.
Okay, I do that.
Me too.
Corbin too.
Lulu, keep up.
Yep, Lulu flies with you guys. As you approach this object that has been glinting and glittering, you see, actually, the scab on one side of this narrow passage has been stripped away, partially revealing a stained glass window, which you can only assume was part of the citadel itself, or of the architecture of the citadel.
Opaque
blue and yellow panes depict the contemplative face of a beautiful angel.
It's Ariel.
I move up to stand in front of the window. I know it's stained glass. Can I make out anything on the other side of the window?
You cannot.
Does it look like it opens?
No.
We could probably get through it, though. What do you think?
It'd be noisy.
Yeah, but it might save it a lot of time, you know?
Yeah.
Lulu, which way's the sword?
Lulu flies up. The passageway actually has several different branches now where you stand. There's a branch that goes to the southeast, a branch that goes to the southwest, a branch that goes to the northwest, which seems to drop down about 30 feet. and then a branch directly north of you, which terminates in a deep, dark, cavernous hole that goes directly downwards.
I vote against the hole.
Yeah.
The hole's bad, I'm sure.
Lulu, can you sense which way the sword is?
I feel like it's, like, deep, deep under us.
Oh, no. Now I have to vote for the hole?
I didn't want to say anything because you said no hole.
Right. That figures.
There's kind of... And she flies a little bit south of your position, Corbin, and she says, well, there's another hole down here. If you don't like that hole, there's this hole.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just sort of anti-deep holes in hell.
Things are probably living in those holes.
We don't want to try this window?
Lulu says it's down below the citadel.
It might be better going through the citadel to get down than...
What if we try dropping something into the hole and seeing what happens?
Are the stained glass, like, are there separate panels, like where the glass changes color? Yeah.
No, I mean, it is a single panel of this angel's face.
Right, but it's I assume that there are more than one color glass used, right? So they're...
Yeah, like, yeah, sure.
Usually seams or something in between the different
leaded,
glass.
Leaded
shapes. Yeah.
I am not an expert in these things, but I will defer to you guys.
Oh, Corbin, do you have detect magic back?
No, sorry. Okay. All right. We could maybe try to take out one of the panes and peek in.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure what skill roll this would be, Matt, but I just want to sort of feel around to see if there's any of them that I could maybe knock out. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not trying to knock it out, but I'm just trying to feel if there's like a loose one, like a section that I might be able to break away without just like breaking the fucking window. You know, like might I be able to?
While you're doing that, I'm going to cast Mage Hand in the space right on the other side. And as you move your hand around, my Mage Hand is gonna follow your hand, and then I'm gonna try to catch it if something unwittingly falls in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Renaissance, you place your hand on this stained glass window to try to feel around and see if there's any loose parts of it or things that can be manipulated. As soon as your hand touches the glass of this window,
fuck,
the window begins to glow with a pure white light.
Ooh.
And you feel this warmth flow through your whole body. You guys watch as Renaissance begins to sort of get consumed by this white light, and then it dissipates. From a mechanical perspective, Renaissance, you now have 20 temporary hit points.
Wow!
Sweet. I think this might be a temple. Which face was it depicting? Which god was it depicting?
It was Zariel.
An angel.
An angel, yeah. I think innately you know, perhaps from your experiences or visions, that this is Zariel before she became Archduchess of Avernus.
Right, and the sword holds her celestial essence, and maybe some of that power is infused this. Try to touch it.
Corbin will touch it.
I'll step aside.
Corbin, you touch it. The same thing happens to you. You are infused with this beautiful white light.
Whoa.
You breathe it in like a pleasant scent, and you also have 20 temporary hit points.
Whoa, that feels good.
I'm going to do the same thing. I kind of can't wait. It's going to feel like home.
The same thing happens to you. You feel just absolutely lifted off your feet almost with this power that goes into your body, and you get 20 temporary hit points.
That's incredible.
Ophelia will walk over and do the same when she sees Hylan do it.
The same thing happens to you. The cares, the worries, the fears that you've had this whole time, Ophelia, that have absolutely harried you through this whole horrendous trip through hell, begin to sort of fall away like dried leaves, and you are infused with 20 temporary hit points.
Lulu, touch the window.
Lulu reaches out her trunk and touches it, and she glows there for a second. Her eyes begin to change from that blue to a golden light, and she is infused with 20 temporary hit points.
I now think we shouldn't break in here because I don't want to take a risk of damaging whatever holy magic is still active.
Zariel hasn't felt anything like that in so long. We have to try to help her. Nobody would give that up unless they were really, really hurt.
I think it might be too late for her. She made her choice.
So obviously, Matt, when that happens, I will stop trying to find weak points in it.
Yeah, we gotta go. Which way?
Do you think it's down these holes?
I think bad things live down those holes.
All right.
So why don't we go looking around real quiet, like, and maybe we can find a different
maybe
way
find
down.
Stairs.
up to the north. Doesn't it drop down?
It does drop down a little bit. Yeah.
It drops down.
Okay. Well, that's down.
I was going to say, when Corbin walks past the hole, He's just going to glance down, not lean over the hole, but just glance as much as he can.
You don't see anything. You just see spongy flesh and sort of mixed with rock down there.
About how far down is the drop to the flesh?
40 feet.
It doesn't look like a tunnel. It's just like a 40-foot hole with a fleshy bottom.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to tell Ew. Lulu.
Yeah, I know. I knew it as soon as I said it.
Yeah.
Lulu flies probably behind Corbin.
Yeah. From here on in, we should all just speak with our minds instead of out loud, just so we can be quiet, okay?
All right. All right.
I'm still looking, keeping my eye out for anything that looks weird as far as this place goes.
The tunnels start to arch around to the east.
Seems like it's opening up to a wider tunnel now.
It does. In fact, Hylan, as you get towards where this tunnel begins to open up a little bit, you see that the tunnel actually branches to the west, perhaps into some kind of another space. You know this as well because you begin to hear voices. These voices do not sound human at all. Corbin and Renaissance, you recognize this language, Abyssal. And it is coming from the interior of this tunnel. There seems to be some kind of a cavernous space. Inside this space, hidden as you are, you're able to see that there are five creatures that are huddled around a 15-foot wide pool of blood. These creatures you've seen before, they are Beulazau, those sort of goat-like demons that you faced off at High Hall during the ritual to free Alder Ravengard.
Can Corbin and I understand what they're saying?
Yes, you can. The Beulazau are actually talking to one another in angry tones. One of them says in a harsh voice to the other,
What do we do? Our king has changed! Yinoka will be displeased.
The other one says,
Who cares? We have food!
And it points to something inside this pool of blood. You see a humanoid figure that is floating face down inside of it. You can't really see very much more than that, other than it is soaked completely, clothes, skin, flesh, hair, with blood.
Psychically, I will provide subtitles for Ophelia and Hylan of what they're saying.
Cool.
And then I think Beulazau looks like they've killed something. Is that right, Matt? Or they're eating something?
They don't seem to be eating it, but they definitely seem to be huddled around it, looking or staring at it. One was pointing at it.
Yeah, maybe they just got lucky.
Yeah.
One of them says,
No, we do not eat yet. The witch must marinate.
Cooking someone they think is a witch. I don't know if that's just like a character judgment or it's a witch.
Really could be either.
Yeah.
We could just back off of this. I don't know.
I think we should kill them. They'll just come in behind us.
How many are there?
Five.
Well, we might make a racket. Could we just, for the hell of it, try to sneak by?
The corridor continues past this side junction, right, where they're in?
Yes, it does. It also seems to open up from a 5-foot tunnel to like a 10-foot wide tunnel.
Do you want to try to just sneak past this side tunnel and keep going?
I mean, then at least we could say we tried.
I vote to kill him.
What do you think, Ophelia?
If we stay sneaky now, we could try to get the drop on them as an attack.
That's true.
I hear what you're saying, Hyla. I'm just afraid that if we get past them, you know, now they're behind us.
Right.
Okay, so I like Ophelia's idea. Maybe get into position here and try to surprise them. Yeah, I would like to try to sneak so that I can get a line of sight. Yeah, come on, Ophelia.
Corbin's going to give himself a vigilant blessing, so Ren loses it, but he gets it.
If we can, I'm just going to attack one of them. I'm going to move south about 10 feet so that I am against the back wall of the hall we're currently in, looking into the room so I can see them. And then I'm going to manifest two psychic blades and throw one at the Beulazau closest to me.
I will swing in behind her, Matt, and I will pull Heaven's Fall from the holster and fire a guiding bolt at the nearest Beulazau.
Corbin will also fire a guiding bolt at whichever one he sees first.
Go ahead and roll initiative. Thanks for listening. This episode featured Tali Viezer as Renaissance, Andy Canistra as Painbearer Corbin Shiv, Carolyn Fox as Hylan, Rachel Tamarin as Ophelia, and me, Matt Gordon, as the Dungeon Master. This episode was edited by Tali Viezer and Carolyn Fox. Our original theme music is by Lauren Anker and Anthony DiMasso. Some sound effects in this episode are courtesy of Sirenscape. Remember, if you enjoy Podcast Party, please follow the show, rate us, and leave us a review. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode of Descent into Avernus. This ravine stretches at least a mile long in every possible direction. And there's only one possible direction. Let's try that again. Yeah, I was like, that didn't make fucking sense. Let's try that again.
Was great. No, leave that.
Yeah, that's good. No. Cannon. Like that.
Cannon.
No. Yeah. I'm going to shoot myself with a cannon.